KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
They don't make triple albums like they used to. I mean, they rarely made them back in the era of Sandinista and All Things Must Pass, but that didn't stop Jeff Tweedy. His new album, Twilight Override, gets the three-set, 30-song treatment.
A lot of people should be just grateful that it's in a five-album set because it really could have been.
But what makes this record special is that it's a family affair. Sons Spencer and Sammy join a few close friends and their dad for Twilight Override. And Jeff thinks you can hear that magic.
People kind of say that some of the songs on this record are more personal, and I don't think that that's really that true. I think that they can hear that extra layer of trust and intimacy that I have with my children.
Coming up, Jeff and the band join us in studio for live performances from the new album and why creativity eats darkness. It's Jeff Tweedy today. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has fined a Bovee man more than $20,000 for filling in a wetland. The agency says he placed more than 9,000 square feet of unpermitted fill in a wetland near Trout Lake in Itasca County. Investigators with the PCA say Vekich also engaged in unpermitted stormwater construction activities in 2024. Investigators found 250 square feet of sediment from the filled wetland discharged into nearby Trout Lake. Vekich's penalty is in response to numerous PCA rules violations, including failing to install sediment controls, failing to obtain several permits, or develop a stormwater pollution prevention plan. The MPCA considers how seriously the violations affected or could have affected the environment when calculating penalties, it says in a release. The agency also attempts to recover the economic benefit entities gain by failing to comply with environmental laws in a timely manner. The field of Republican candidates vying to be the next governor of Minnesota is growing with MyPillow founder Mike Lindell. Lindell was a leading amplifier of President Donald Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was stolen, leading to litigation with Dominion voting machines and financial setbacks. Lindell reportedly told the Associated Press ahead of his Thursday announcement that he has a record of solving problems and personal experiences to help fight addiction and homelessness. Lindell did not commit on whether he would abide by the Minnesota GOP endorsement and forgo the primary if he loses it. Party caucuses are coming up on February 3rd. Other Republicans in the race include Minnesota House Speaker Lisa Damuth, former state senator and 2022 governor candidate Scott Jensen, State Representative Kristen Robbins, defense lawyer Chris Medell, and former executive Kendall Qualls. No Republican has won a statewide office in Minnesota since 2006, but the state has a history of making some unexpected choices, like when former wrestler Jesse Ventura was elected governor in 1998. U.S. farmers have until December 19th to gather details for federal aid meant to offset losses spurred by the Trump administration's tariffs and other financial pressures. And a Minnesota-based expert said despite short-term relief, big problems aren't going away. This week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced a $12 billion relief package as some farmers struggle to stay afloat due to a declining export market linked to expanded tariffs. Similar payments were issued during the heightened trade war in Donald Trump's first presidency. Ben Lilliston, Director of Rural Strategies and Climate Change at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, said a quick infusion of aid can ease some pressure, but does not get to the bottom of how expensive it is to farm these days.
It doesn't address the underlying problems. And really, the big one is increased costs. And many of those costs are associated with these tariffs. So higher prices for machinery, for crop inputs.
The Institute says payments under the first Trump White House were not easy to access for small to mid-sized farms. Payment rates for the new aid are not yet public, but Lilliston added it is frustrating beef and dairy producers are not included since costs are higher for them too. The Trump administration insists the latest payments will help adjust rising expenses for covered commodities, along with price volatility. The USDA pointed to provisions in legislation known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, meant to help farmers in the coming year, and positive trade developments with countries like China. Lilliston countered tariff unpredictability has hurt America's reputation on the global front, with agriculture losing ground in the fallout.
Many of the agreements that they are touting aren't actually trade agreements. They are sort of tentative promises to do certain things in the future, but they're not written down. We have yet to see actual text of a trade agreement, including with China.
Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. MnDOT's Name a Snowplow contest is back for the sixth year. The agency selects 8 creative name ideas each year, one for each MnDOT district. You can submit one name idea until noon December 19th. MnDOT will select finalists and invite the public to vote on their favorites in January. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. Jeff Tweedy's longest and most ambitious solo album to date might be his most personal. This might ring strange to fans of Wilco, as Tweedy is no stranger to vulnerability in his lyrics. But part of what makes the 30-track triple album Twilight Override feel so intimate is that it's made by, for all intents and purposes, a family band. Today, I'm joined by Jeff, his sons Sammy and Spencer, and close friends Seema Cunningham, Macy Stewart, and Liam Kazar. In studio, it feels like we're hanging out at The Loft, Wilco's HQ in Chicago. Jokes, smiles, and some beautiful performances come together in a heartbeat. Coming up, Jeff and the band talk about the tight-knit relationship that created Twilight Override and Tweedy's relentless need to create, and why you, yes, you, should be making stuff too. Our session gets underway with a performance of KC Rain, No Wonder. Here's Jeff Tweedy.
Sad, I never knew what I had. Mom and Dad let it slide. No wonder I'm never satisfied. I swayed and I swooned, I howled at the moon, I tied myself to the ties. No wonder I'm never satisfied.
Yeah.
recorded live in studio. It's Jeff Tweedy on World Cafe. That is a performance of Casey Rain. No Wonder. That is from the new triple album, Twilight Override. The Wilco frontman joins me in studio by his band, Seema Cummingham, Macy Stewart, Liam Kazar, Sammy Tweedy, and Spencer Tweedy. I'm Kaleo. It's World Cafe. Jeff, welcome back. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So
wonderful to be back.
I was struck by the very first paragraph of the bio that sets up this album. And in it, you say, when you align yourself with creation, you inherently take a side against destruction. Creativity eats darkness. It just made me smile. It is a beautiful idea. I would love it if you'd be willing to unpack a little bit of where you were coming from when you wrote that.
I think it's just been an observation in my entire life. I think that it just seems like the people I know that make stuff tend to be gentler and have like feel like they have more purpose, and having some sense of purpose, I think, does a lot to quell the impulse to destroy also. And I just think it's good for people to concern themselves with making something, spending time with themselves and using their imagination. I don't buy the argument that not everybody is creative, has a creative spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that when we're kids, we're all pretty creative.
Really good at
that.
I think
it kind of gets kind of worn away by
life
and society and the education system and things like that. But you don't have to make something to hang in a museum. I just think you should make something and spend time with yourself like that. I think you learn how you learn what you are. You make a soul and a spirit by discovering what's in you. And I think you only really do that by you know, seeing what's in you.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Vonnegut, you know, line about making art, whether it's good or bad, it fills up your soul. From a creative standpoint, it can be hard sometimes to feel inspired to be creative when you look out the window and maybe there's just nothing but bad news. How do you feed your creativity when there are moments where you're like, I don't really want to, or is that something that you don't deal with?
I think everybody deals with a certain amount of despair and despondency. Even when things are great, you know, like speaking for myself, I've dealt with it for a long time since I was a little kid. I think that there's a mood, I don't think mood disorders are uncommon at all. I think they're often kind of overlooked and under-diagnosed. But I would say my main job is to stay inspired. I don't think my main job is to write songs or a tour or anything like that. I feel like my main goal is to stay inspired. And that's what I work at more than anything. I do that by consuming other people's art and reading books and listening to music and filling myself up with that, this idea that other people are out there trying to reach out and communicate and connect. And I feel that. And I have since I feel consoled by that. But yeah, I think that I feel lucky that I have a pretty tried and true strategy for dealing with the world being indecent.
Yeah. You know?
And that is to pick up my guitar and spend some time, making something that wasn't there when I woke up. And in the simplest terms, that's also my job, is to, if I can do that, if I can muster up something hopeful, which I think any act of creation is in a way hopeful, because it's kind of projecting into the future. It implies that there is a future and that it's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if I can do that, I should do that.
That's right. And I imagine the creativity becomes supercharged when you get to do it with a group of people that you trust and you can share your ideas with.
Yeah. I mean, this is a family band. You know, I've known everybody in this band since they were really young children. And some, like I've been saying to the audiences on this tour, some before they were young children.
Sure.
Bands work really hard over a long period of time to get to a level of intimacy and trust that allows for music to happen, like really profound kind of communication musically. And a family band starts there. And I think that's kind of, not to get mystical or anything like that, it's really striking how I can feel it in my performances and stuff. I mean, people kind of say that some of the songs on this record are more personal, and I don't think that that's really that true. I think I write a lot of personal lyrics for a lot of Wilco songs.
Why do you think people think it's more personal?
Because I think that they can hear that extra layer of trust and intimacy that I have with my children and my family, you know. Yeah. So I think it's a factor that you can't quantify or you can't really, you know, explain better than there's a added layer of vulnerability and frailty that I'm comfortable with sharing. In a context where I'm not I'm not necessarily a band leader or anything like that. I'm just this guy that my children are trying to help make a record.
This is World Cafe. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jeff Tweedy. The new album is called Twilight Override. We have more to talk about with the album and more live performance, including Out in the Dark.
All right, thank you.
It's Jeff Tweedy on World Cafe.
Thank you.
Recorded live on World Cafe, it's Jeff Tweedy, Out in the Dark. It's from the new album, Twilight Override. Jeff and the band are in studio. Thanks for listening to World Cafe. So the seeds of this record, as far as seeds for a solo album can go, started on a road trip, drive to New York, and listening to The Clash's Sandinista. Where did the idea to go, you know what, I got the perfect record for you, and it's this Clash album come from?
Oh, I think I identified that much later as maybe being where the kernel of the idea of a triple record came from.
Sure.
Spencer and Sammy had heard it, but I don't think you guys knew of the record and knew stuff off of that record, but we'd never listened to the whole thing in its entirety together. And I probably hadn't done that since I got it when it came out. Yeah, so it was in the middle of the night. We listened to this whole triple record. And I do think that that's where the notion kind of got planted in my head. That like, well, you can make a triple record. I wonder, nobody really does that anymore. Not many people do that. You know, and I write a lot of songs. It can be painful waiting for them to come out over long periods of time.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, like album cycles are pretty slow and things like that. So there was some incentive right there to see if I can make something that is long form. And I don't know. It's just the more we worked at it and the more we thought about it, the more it felt like there was an opportunity to make a different kind of record, a different kind of statement artistically. It was also based on the idea that records tend to be really, really conform to a certain size, and it's technologically based. But I love books, and books are kind of crazy all over this, you know, all over the place in terms of which books I love. Some are really long, some are really short, and they don't get really criticized for that. I mean, maybe they do.
No, but there is no, like what is it, 32 minutes before a record starts degrading if you try to squeeze more onto it. So, like, that's the limitation of the medium. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it's like movies have gotten longer. Movies have gotten 20, 30 minutes on average longer than they were in the 1980s. And in a world where everything seems like, oh, gosh, every day I'm going to put a song out and I just need to remind people I exist, and it's these smaller batches. Mm-hmm. I think there's something very admirable about going the other way, which is saying, here is this thing. And I think it also gives you permission to get a little weird and to do some things when people go, Jeff Tweedy, triple album. Yeah.
It's admirable until you remember that people sit around and listen to two guys talk about jock straps for 3 hours every day on podcasts.
But wouldn't their time be better served listening to your record, though?
I think so. I don't know what they talk about. Do they not talk about jock straps?
They do. They talk about everything. Yeah. And it takes a lot of time.
Yeah,
to get
but you know what I mean? There's like two things happening at once. There's this like sort of passive listening, really like long form kind of media that takes up occupies people's time, you know, podcasts. And then there's like this snippet TikTok culture that kind of
60 seconds or less
pulls things into a, you know, microscopic kind of realm. But thank you. I stepped on your compliment. You said it was admirable, and I crapped all over that.
No,
I'm sorry.
You didn't.
I'm going to take it right now. Thank you.
That's Jeff Tweedy of Wilco on World Cafe taking the compliment. The new triple album is Twilight Override. Jeff and the band in studio with more live performances and more conversation coming your way in just a moment on World Cafe.
Back to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. We're in the middle of our conversation with Jeff Tweedy and his band.
The new album is a triple record called Twilight Override. Coming up, more live performances. But first, let's get back into the conversation and a song with some difficult subject matter.
When you hear a lyric that says, "Ain't it a shame when you want to die on a beach in the sun," your first maybe go, maybe that's morbid, but I think this is a beautiful song and maybe not as morbid as maybe a first person's glancing read of it is. Can you talk a little bit about Ain't It a Shame?
I think as someone who has, like most people, dealt with some mood disorders and have some depression and things that I've learned how to cope with, mm-hmm. There's a strange sensation that you get from knowing that you're happy and in a happy place and in a safe place, and also not being able to completely feel it in a way that overrides the prevailing emotion inside of you.
Yeah.
And that's an experience I don't think is unique to me. And I don't know if it's unique to even young people, but that's something I remember a lot about my youth. You know, it's like being a little bit intense, and that's probably part of why it was hard to make, you know, small talk kind of connections with people, or, you know, I was a drag at a party, that's for sure. I can tell you that. But yeah, I don't think it's hopeless. I think it's just sort of recognizing of that scenario. If anybody's feeling like that and they hear this song, I think that the idea is that there's something magical in sticking around and wanting to remind myself and other people that the world's always unfolding towards something you kind of can't predict. And a lot of times it's really beautiful and sometimes it's scary. But there's a middle section, I think, of that song that comes about, and it's chaotic and uninhibited and beautiful ultimately, but also a little scary.
Scary, yeah.
And that's why I think that's there. And, but the vocals and the act of making the song is inherently hopeful to me.
We would love to hear it. It's Jeff Tweedy here on World Cafe.
My skin is smooth. My hair's blonde. And I'm tan. On a blanket with my friends in the sand. Ain't it a shame when you wanna die on a beach in the sun? Not a cloud sky, and that's just not how dying's done. Ain't it a shame when you're young? I am welcome, I am loved, I'm free. But I have reached for something I can't keep. Ain't it a shame? Not a cloud in the sky, and that's just not how dying's done. Ain't it a shame when you're young? Mm-hmm.
it a shame when you wanna die. On a beach in the sun, not a cloud in the sky, and that's just not how dying's done. It's not how dying's done. Ain't it a shame when you're young?
Recorded live for World Cafe, it's Jeff Tweedy with Ain't It a Shame. It's from his new solo album, which is available now, called Twilight Override. I am Kaleo. Jeff and his band are my guest today. This is World Cafe. One of the things that I enjoyed reading about with regard to this new album is that with your previous solo records, as you would take them from the studio to the road, they would sort of transform and become bigger versions of themselves. Like, hey, there's some vocal harmonies. We're doing some cooler stuff. And you said this, where you got those songs on the road is where you wanted the jumping off point to be when you were in the studio recording. What does that look like?
Well, this group of people has been going out on the road with me for a while and playing my solo material. Mm-hmm. And one of the lovely things about everybody in this group is they pay attention to the lyrics and they want to sing along. And over time, Seema in particular has a lot of ideas for harmonies, and Macy together have like added these lovely harmonies. Sammy always wants to sing along. I've never played a note of music in my life without Spencer playing along.
Yeah.
Like clicking a pen or whatever. It's quite unsettling. It's beautiful. And Liam also, he's just one of my favorite voices in the world. And when we add all these voices together, I always get home and go, that's so much better than the version on the record. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of those records. They're the best I could do at the time, which is the idea. But yeah, almost every song had the opportunity to be enhanced a little bit by that. And so I started writing with that in mind. I was like, well, that's kind of the defining sound of this group. And then what a beautiful thing to get to write for,
yeah,
is the way that our voices work together. And so that was really inspiring. And that's another reason that I ended up with, you know, a lot of people should be just grateful that it was in a 5-album set, because it really could have been. So if you're worried that it's too long, did you a favor. I mean, it really, it's as short as it can get, you know.
One of the things that I really enjoyed as y'all were warming up was I was hearing a little bit of Sister Sledge, We Are Family. And as, you know, as Jeff pointed out at the top, you know, in a lot of ways, this is a family band. You have two sets of siblings, Seema and Liam, and then obviously Spencer and Sammy. And I actually kind of want to put it to the siblings for a second, because Jeff sort of talked about his perspective on your being part of his family, but starting with his sons, what do you appreciate about this family band, this family sort of project?
Sammy,
you want to start?
I mean, we've already touched on some of this stuff. There's the term I love is blood harmony.
Yeah.
The blood harmony element of just like our voices are, and not just our voices, but there's rhythmic moments where I feel like I'm just very attuned to these people.
Is there anything that you wanted to add, Spencer?
I'm just curious if Liam or Seema have any sibling thoughts.
Yeah. That's where I was headed now.
I also want to point out Macy. I was just going to say, I also want to say that Macy is a de facto sibling as well. Seema and Macy.
I had to fake my way into being a sibling.
They've played music together
for so
long.
Welcome to the family.
And Liam and Macy have been playing music together since they were preteens too, so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Liam, if there's anything you'd like to add, I definitely
anything
don't.
Anything at all.
Seema, how do I feel about being in a band with my family?
That's the most, it says a lot.
Yeah, I'm the younger sibling, so I would need to have a quick chat with her first to know how I feel.
I think what's beautiful about being in a band with a bunch of siblings and there's no one who has sung more with me and my brother than Macy, so she definitely counts, is that we all know what each other are capable of, and we're all like pushing each other to that. And I think that's really great because it does take a lot of trust and vulnerability to say, hey, I know you can do this. Actually, you know what? Like, because all of us are multi-instrumentalists. So there was a lot of in the studio saying, actually, you know what, Liam, you got the touch for this one. And like Jeff doing that too, and knowing that, you know, like we are really used to a dynamic where we understand that in challenging moments, that just means that we're trying to get to the best thing. And that's a sibling thing.
For sure.
Where, you know, because we can, you know, we can scrape and scrap at each other.
Healthy competition.
But it's okay because we know how to, sometimes you can disagree in the best way and it comes back in the, you know, comes back to serve you.
It's all rooted in caring. I think that those kinds of disagreements are agreeable, you know, because the underlying passion for it is that we want to make it better, and I like making things better. I mean that's part of, like, come back to your first question about being inspired and everything. Yeah. That's inspiring to me. Is like, I'm 58 years old and I practice guitar all the time, and I'm noticing improvement. And that feels really, that's been sustaining for me my whole life. Is like, wonder if I could learn how to do that. I wonder if I could learn how to write, a haiku or something. You know, like it's a challenge. You know, and you're never going to run out. I mean, if I was going to be virtuosic, that would have happened a long time ago. So,
but it does. It doesn't even matter, because I remember I was talking to, I think it was like Herb Alpert earlier this year, 90 whatever years old, and he's still practicing his scales. He's like, there's no finish line. He's like, the idea to get up and do it again tomorrow, that's the dream, and that's what I get to do. And it sounds like, it feels like that's kind of what's happening here.
It'd be very, very rewarding, I think. Yeah. Yeah. And good for you.
Excellent.
Practice your scales, everybody.
Herb said so. You're listening to World Cafe. Jeff Tweedy and company are here. We're going to close with the song Enough, which incidentally closes the album out. It's Jeff Tweedy on World Cafe. Recorded live on World Cafe, it's Jeff Tweedy, a performance of Enough. It's the song that closes his new album, which is called Twilight Override. I want to thank Seema Cunningham, Macy Stewart, Liam Kazar, Sammy Tweedy, Spencer Tweedy, and of course, Jeff Tweedy. Jeff, thanks so much for coming back, bringing the band by. Let's do it again soon, all right?
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Wonderful.
We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. Thanks again to Jeff Tweedy and company. The new album, Twilight Override, is available now. Couldn't have done this session without our senior producer by my side. Thanks to Kimberly Junod for her work on this performance and interview. Let's get back into music with Leve. Here's Silver Lining.
I've been falling in bad habits, staring into the abyss. Drowning in red wine and sniffing cinnamon. We've been kissing on the playground, acting like little kids, making dirty jokes and getting away with it. So words, killing me softly with his song, killing
with his words killing me softly, with his song.
Refuge cries little bass sitting up here on the bass. While I'm on this roast, I got my girl L. One time. Hey yo, L, you know you got the lyrics.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers.
I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Wesley, and we're the Lumineers.
And you're listening to World Cafe.
Got a new girlfriend. He feels feels like he's on top. And I don't feel no remorse. And you can't see past my blindness. Oh, Ophelia, you've been on my mind, girl, since the flood.
Just like
When you think about the legacy of Raoul Malo, an incredible singer and lyricist, you think about the Mavericks, a band that almost defied categorization. Alt-country, Latino, root, it doesn't matter, it's good. Dance the Night Away, putting the wraps on this edition of The Cafe. Raoul Malo passed away at the age of 60 from colon cancer earlier this week. His wife, Betty, said he was called to do another gig, this time in the sky, and he's flying high like an eagle. Much love and respect to the Malo family. That does it for us here on The Cafe. Appreciate you listening, and thanks to our affiliates nationwide who make this show possible, a show we produce from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. We'll see you next time on World Cafe.
World Cafe is supported by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing extraordinarily creative individuals whose ideas, solutions, and discoveries expand people's expectations of what's possible. MacFound.org. And by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege but a right. Learn more at rwjf.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at kaxe.org.
That was Jim Miller doing Alligator Man at a 1978 Known Only Locally concert for KAXE. I'm Christy Miller, and I've been a member since 1977, and with husband Jim Miller, Gary Brusty, and Miriam Tell, Known Only Locally played many benefit concerts through the decades. I strongly urge you to donate to this people-powered radio